If you want to run businesses, you will always have to be recruiting. Even if you're not hiring, you need to be always having a full pipeline of amazing people in certain areas, even if you're not looking to hire somebody today, because a year from now, 2-5 years, you are.
You're listening to the world's best business podcast with Steli Efti and Heaton Shaw, who insisted on having Steli's name mentioned first, despite him having more Twitter followers.
Shut up!
If you're an entrepreneur who wants to get shit done, stop everything else and focus on this podcast for the next 20 minutes. Then go back to work and crush it.
All right, so the thing I'm struggling with right now is recruiting. And it's not that it's so hard to find the right people, although that's always hard to find amazing people. If you have really high standards and even...
How many people have you hired?
When? Since when?
How many people have you hired?
In my life?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably 100. I don't know. A bunch. A lot. Over my entire fucking lifetime of being an entrepreneur. Yeah, a lot. I don't know the exact number.
Let's say 100.
Let's say 100.
I could say about the same.
Yeah. 100. All right. So hiring is hard for many reasons. Right now, the thing that I'm struggling is not necessarily knowing what to do or what I need to do to get the right people in. It's that I struggle shifting from a kind of a... being a producer in the business and like creating a lot of stuff and doing a lot of things myself, like doing a lot of the work myself, to shifting to dedicating enough time and finding the people that are going to be doing this work and doing it better in the future. And one of the reasons is that it's just, you know, when we made the shift from Elastic Sales to Closeout, we contracted as a team, became a much smaller but very strong team for like 1 or 2 years. We just executed. And that was a great feeling. I love being a creator, being a individual producer in the team and not just managing people and hiring people. And now we're outgrowing that phase and I need to dedicate a heavy amount of my time in bringing in more people into the business. And I just struggle making the transition. And it's more about like the habits that I have and the momentum of like 2 years of being in this type of like heads down mode and being very internal, just like working with a group of people I know really, really well and cutting off the world and all that shit, to now having to go out and meet lots of people, have lots of conversations, lots of calls, reach out to lots of like and become more of an external creature again. There's a cat in some tree in Palo Alto right now, so all hands on deck. There's like fire, you know, the fire department and police car and whatever craziness going on outside. the struggle for me is like shifting mode.
Yeah.
Right. And I've done this before plenty of times. I know myself. I know that I'm gonna get there, but temporarily, I'm not. What I'm struggling with is that although I'm rationally and logically know what to do next, I'm not ready to make that change immediately. And this is one of the reasons of struggle in general in life is like you're resisting something, right? If you just let go and go with what needs to happen next, there's going to be significantly less struggle in life.
That's
but
right
now, I'm not letting go, you know, and that's kind of the moment we're in. And for all of you guys that are wondering why we're talking about this, Heaton throws the hand in the air, puts the sunglasses on, big smile. When Heaton walked into my office today, I couldn't tell, like, is he tired? Does he really want to do this? Like, his mood was so, you couldn't really tell. The moment I'm like, well, we could talk about this or that or about my current struggle, Heaton's like, wait, what's your struggle? Let's talk about that. And his mood changed immediately. He's so happy right now that we're talking about this. All right, Heaton, you wanted to be my therapist today, so go ahead, do your magic, ask your questions.
Well, see, that's what's great about Steli, and I think that's what we talk about a lot on here, is like, he just actually just analyzed himself, right? You didn't just describe your problem, you analyzed it, right?
Yeah.
And you came to some conclusions. I think it's kind of pointing out one thing, which is like, as a founder or trying to lead a group of people, you tend to... always need to think about changing yourself, because it's easier to change yourself than other people. So you have to become like a change master, right? And I think that that's the underlying thing that you're dealing with, right? You're actually going through a change. So I'm actually really excited because like we get to talk about this in real time, right?
Yep.
You're going through a change. This is a change that if you're probably going to – most people will go through this every 1 to 3 months.
Yep.
If you're running a company,
yep,
right? It just depends on whether you recognize it or, you know, some of them are easier like you said. So I love it. But let's talk about it, right? So you were basically going from, again, using Paul Graham, because we've used him a couple times, maker and manager, right? Yeah. So you're going from being a maker, which is like an individual contributor. That's, I think, the normal business language, right?
Yeah.
Then now you need to become a manager, right? And maybe you have been before. So this isn't an experience issue. This isn't even with – that's why I asked how many people have you hired, right? Because it's like you've hired 100 people, right? And so that means you know how to do recruiting and all the processes. You know how to bring someone on the team. None of that is your problem. Your problem is this fundamental founder struggle, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Anyways, that's why I'm excited. So I think where we can go from here is like, you know, let's just talk about things that you think you're going to do to get out of this. Right, like, what do you have anything in mind yet? I'm really curious.
Okay, wait a second. Just for, I don't know, for whatever reason, while Heaton was describing this, I was thinking that Heaton has like a personal motto, mantra, whatever you want to call it, which is like, your struggle is his breakfast. Like that's it. He's like, you have a struggle, and there's an appetite in him. He's like, let me chop this up. This is gonna be easy for me. This is, I'm gonna make. You know, I'm eating this. This is my breakfast, right? This is how I start, is like fixing your struggle. All right. So while I was thinking that clever line, I wasn't paying attention to the question you really asked. So you asked like if I have a solution in mind on how to fix this.
Tactics. Like what are you going to try? You've been through this before.
Yeah.
On a fundamental level, right?
You know, so on the tactics level, what's happening right now is I'm doing a number of things. Number one is I am starting to say no to a lot more things. And this is me creating space, right? So, you know, the last few weeks I've been pretty booked out and busy. My calendar looked really crazy. And I realized I'm working on the wrong things. Like, I'm doing a lot of shit, and it's shit that feels good. But is this really what's fundamentally moving my business forward in the best possible way?
So hang on here. So are you talking about basically, and people have written about this, but the difference between motion and progress? So motion is all like all those meetings. Progress would have been making progress towards scaling the company, for example.
Yes. So that's a great framework, but it's not what applies here because I do very little motion in general.
Okay.
So it was all progress, but it was progress on the wrong thing.
Okay.
Right? So let's say right now Closar is growing through content marketing primarily, right? And we're doing really well on that front. We want to do a shit ton more. But we've always been 1.5 people on the marketing side. I have one person that does marketing, and I do a bunch of it myself too. So we're getting to a point where there's just we need more people. We want a few more amazing people to do all the things that we want to do. So there's a difference between me creating content and me recruiting marketers, right? Or recruiting a content creator. And I'll do a lot of like content creation stuff, or I'll meet with a bunch of sales office hours that I'm recording as a new format of creating content. That's not like just wasting time and having meetings, but it's creating progress in an area that right now should not be my priority. My priority is find marketing people to hire, not do more marketing myself, right? So the first thing that I do is start saying no. Right. So for instance, in the past, I had like 2 hours a week dedicated on taking sales office hours. And I started recording these because I these conversations are really valuable. I'm like, let's just create content out of those 15-minute conversations that I usually have helping another founder with their sales problems. So, but Mary, who's like helping me like manage my calendars, my executive assistant, she would ask people, are you cool with recording this or not? And sometimes people said yes, sometimes no. Now what we've done is we've that moved down from probably 3 or 4 hours first to 2, now moving it down to 1 hour and to only talking to people that are willing to allow me to record.
Yeah.
I'm saying no to a bunch of other things. Like I'm also like my ambition for creating content is very high. So I'll go and look at my calendar and go, all right, so I'm going to change in half the time that I spend on creating content, right? So what I do is I methodically go through my calendar and say, what do I need to say more no to? And how can I create more open space?
Yeah.
That's step number one. Step number two is, and that's the beauty of having somebody to work with me on like analyzing my calendar and the way that I spend my time.
Oh, I see.
Is that I'll tell Mary, a priority needs to be moving forward. I need to spend more time recruiting. It needs to be in my calendar. You should check on that. We should check on that.
So that's a key tactic. So yes. if you have a transition you need to go through, it's actually first about auditing your time.
Yes.
And if you're good about calendaring, you can probably do that pretty easily.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I start saying no to things and creating more time, and then I dedicate that time to the thing I want to do. And I start, you know, I'm asking for help in many ways. One is to have in my case, I have somebody that manages my calendar with me, so I can tell that person to keep me accountable and make sure that that happens. But also what started happening is we have two team meetings a week. We actually changed that. We now only have one team meeting a week. It's Monday morning. We do a what happened last week and what's happening this week.
Yep.
And we have different categories, marketing, sales, product, this, that, and the other. We just started introducing recruiting as a thing, right? So now in front of the team, I go, well, I'm working on this and this and this on the recruiting side. And then I know next week in front of the team, I have to say what happened.
So that's accountability.
Yes.
So then be accountable. I mean, you probably almost have a metric now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the metric? How does that work?
So there's two. One is the amount of time that I want to spend on this. Mm-hmm. Just generally dedicating, in my case, I'm starting with dedicating an hour a day on recruiting, right?
Awesome.
And this is recruiting, not hiring. So hiring is like the phone calls I have, the screenings, when somebody comes into the office, all that is not counted into the 1 hour.
So this is top of funnel.
This is top of funnel work. This
right.
is me
so,
reaching out.
So reaching out to people, reaching yes. out to candidates, outbound recruiting, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or reaching out to people that can be referrals. So I'll have a call with a person that's really great and ask them for people they know that I can go and get in touch with.
Yeah.
This is the top of the funnel work, not my interview calls, not any person that comes into the office and works with us. None of that. That's hiring.
Yeah.
Recruiting is me doing the outbound stuff, reaching out to people.
Well, what I was going to ask you is I actually wanted to go down the recruiting path for a second, right? What are you doing on outbound recruiting? How are you thinking about it? I think, because I know the topic was recruiting kind of, but problems with transitions.
Yeah.
I think there's a bunch of tips here there, but what do you think about talking about recruiting more?
I think my approach to recruiting is that what I'm trying to do is I try to go to people that I think are amazing, and then I ask them who they know that is amazing. There's a number of tricks there. One trick that I've used a lot is to ask people for people that would never be interested in a job. What I want to do is I don't want you to filter too much who you think might be the right for this role and might be interested at this time because they have nothing better to do. Because those are probably not the people I want to talk to.
So don't actually get too specific.
No.
When you ask for interest.
No.
That's actually easier on the other side.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's I could name five people that do blah any day. On anything. Yeah.
My whole approach will be I'll send you an email.
Yeah.
Let's say you're creating content that's awesome and I think you're a great person, but I don't know you, right? So
yeah.
I'll reach out to you and I'm going to say, hey, love your content. We do tons of content. Want to chat from one person to another? Just share some ideas.
Yeah.
People typically say yes to that, right? So I'll jump on a call, and now I'm trying to do two things. Number one, I'm trying to figure out more about you. Are you somebody that I might be able to recruit and work with?
Yeah.
If not, do you know people, right? So I'll chat with you about content in general, how you guys think about it, how you do it. I'll talk about you and who you are. I'll talk a little bit about us. And organically, I'll see and I'll feel it out how excited am I about you specifically or about other people. Even if I'm excited about you, I might just ask you, who do you know that's amazing? I want to just know everybody who's amazing in this space. Who do you know that's really cool that I can chit-chat with? I'm not going to ask you, I'm hiring, who do you know that's looking for a job, right? So that's one. And funny story in terms of past hiring. In the past, a lot of times when I would hire for a certain position, I would know, let's say I know somebody or I had a friend that I thought would be good at this. And I would call them and I would just sell them for 30 minutes on the opportunity and how amazing this is. And they would ask them for the smartest, most ambitious, most awesome person they know. And then they'll go, well, how about me? And I would go, yeah, whatever. But do you know anyone else? that's interesting. So I'm selling them in a very indirect way. So that's one of my approaches. Let's get to know each other. I'm not running around saying who wants to get married. I'm running around saying who wants to just grab a drink and have a good conversation, and then let's see where it goes.
So, I mean, one thing that went through my head, right? And that thing was that to ask you a question about this, which is, if I'm listening to this and hearing what you're saying, because like I'm not you, right? Yep. I'm not as extroverted as you or whatever you call it.
Yep.
How would you convince me to do it? Maybe I don't want to do this. Like I'm apprehensive about it. I don't like, how do I find people? Like I'll come up with all these excuses. So how would you take a baby step? How would you motivate somebody who's not ready to do it?
To do up on recruiting.
Yeah.
Man, it's hard. I don't know. I mean, my first step for you, if you don't want to reach out to somebody you don't know, just reach out to people you know. Just meet up with your friends. And just ask them, who do you know who's really cool, who's really great that I don't know yet? Who's somebody you've worked with in the past, somebody you went to school with, somebody that's really smart that I don't know, that you as a friend of mine know and like? I just want to get to know more great people. Mm-hmm. And I think this is, in general, this is something I was thinking about earlier this morning that I've messed up. So here's a lot of times people come to me and they go, how can I find a co-founder? Yeah. Especially a subgroup that's more of my peeps, which is people that come from Europe or somewhere else in the world. And they're like, I'm in Silicon Valley now. I have this big idea. How can I find my technical co-founder to get started with this? Which is exactly who I was 8 years ago when I arrived here. And I always tell them, I don't fucking know, first of all. Second of all, this is very much like telling me, how can I find a wife that I'm going to love for the rest of my life in the next 7 days? I don't fucking know. Like, there's some examples of how this working out, but usually it's not a good idea to approach this problem like this. And my experience was that the first time around when I tried to hire like that or get co-founders like that, I found, you know, I was a fucking idiot. So I found a fucking idiot with a great heart, right? And maybe lots of potential. So I found other fucking idiots with great hearts and lots of potential. We're a group of people of idiots who didn't know what we were doing. Hence, that first venture didn't quite work out that way, right? Now, today, all these people are amazing, but we all just didn't know what we were doing. And I, as somebody that was not that great, couldn't attract amazing talent. The people I started this company with, I knew for 5 years. There were some of the people I met the very first week I was in Silicon Valley. I was friends with them for 5 years trying to do this other venture. It failed, and then we came together to start this. Mm-hmm. So my tip a lot of times is that with recruiting and hiring with amazing people, you need to think really long term, right? You need to be building relationships, and maybe 2, 3, 4 years down the line, you're going to be able to work with these people. You can't just immediately find these people. And I was thinking about this morning, thinking, I'm not taking my own fucking advice, because the last 2, 3 years, I was so introverted into just focusing on my team and execution that I didn't invest any time in meeting more amazing people that potentially could be part of my team moving forward. And now I'm going to pay the price for that, right? Because now I'm going to have to go through some suffering for that.
So I want to pause for a second here and actually give a tactic. I learned it from my friend Dharmesh, who started HubSpot. And the trick is, or it's not even a trick, it's a good tactic. It might be a tip today. I don't know if we're done yet. but this is going to be one of those. The tip is basically put people in Excel spreadsheet. People you meet that you think you might want to work with one day. That's it. That's all there is to it. And then over time, I think you'll have a long list, regardless of whether you're really, you know, working in your company or not, because you're always meeting people. Some people, you know, you might only have one conversation with and already have a good feeling that like, hey, you might want to do something with this person one day. Yeah. So he just has a big Excel sheet. It's very interesting.
Yeah, that's a cool tip. I think that my tip, if I have some, and if I'm allowed to give tips that I – like a lot of the advice that you give in general life is advice that you need to hear yourself.
Right.
That's why you're giving it.
Yeah, you can give it. Yeah,
so
bring it.
So the one advice that I need to keep hearing is that I need to always be recruiting. You need to always be recruiting. If you want to run businesses, you will always have to be recruiting. Even if you're not hiring, you need to be always having a full pipeline of amazing people in certain areas, even if you're not looking to hire somebody today, because a year from now, 2, 5 years, you are, right? And then you're going to benefit greatly. It's an investment. You're investing in people because you're going to need a ton of people to make things happen. And I took, you know, I stopped investing in outside relationship and just invested in internal ones. That was great because the team internally did amazing work. But now I'm paying a price for not having any deposit on that fucking bank account, right? And I'm going to start having to put deposits in, and I'm not going to immediately get the return I need. I'm going to have to wait a little bit and suffer through that. And so to me, the lesson is never, ever, ever, no matter how much you don't need people right now and what you're doing, never stop recruiting.